Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. In this show, we visit the Bozeman Public Library, entering the kitchen table, one of the creative labs at the library that inspire curiosity, exploration, and connection. The kitchen table is a space where patrons can develop food and nutrition literacy, learn kitchen skills, understand the importance of eating in season and sourcing locally. Here, connections are made with Bozeman-based food producers and those from the community through shared meals and conversation. We first join a demonstration cooking class presented by Anna Mendoza, baker and co-owner of VN Bakery. From her, we learn how to make the perfect croissant. Then we learn from Amy Ferguson, a pharmacist turned health coach. In the space that once housed the coffee shop, the kitchen table with two ovens, a stovetop, and a large counter can be set up for classroom-style culinary demonstrations or hands-on opportunities with the addition of tables. On this day, Chef Anna Mendoza arrived with several trays of croissants ready from her bakery, Vienne, and a couple of sheets of dough for her to demonstrate how the multi-layered pastries are created.
We opened the bakery. It'll be 5 years in May. We're just about to have our 5-year anniversary. And I actually grew up in Montana. I grew up near Great Falls. And I spent a lot of time away. I went lived for a year in France. That's where I went to pastry school. And then I went to New York and San Francisco and worked under a bunch of different people for about 8 years before coming back here.
Mendoza graduated from Walla Walla University to then work as a server for Wolfgang Puck. Later, she enrolled at Gastronomicom in France to receive training in the art of baking and pastry making. After a 4-month internship at Le Beau Rivage in Condrieu, she worked at Boulette's Larder in San Francisco to a stint at Michelin star restaurant Spruce. Bien Cui in Brooklyn taught her about artisan bread. In the spring of 2021, she brought all her skills back to Big Sky Country and opened her own bakery in Bozeman with her husband, Daniel. Today, the pastry chef from the James Beard Foundation 2025 semifinalist for Outstanding Bakery shares her knowledge on the art of crafting the perfect croissant.
There is many, many different ways to cut and shape croissant doughs, but the butter croissant is the classic triangle form that you roll, and then we've got like chocolate, which is kind of rectangles. There's like the ham and cheese, which is a larger rectangle, and there's some really fancy stuff that people are doing these days too, with like inverted lamination and anything. Anyways, I can get into that, but I rolled this out. We, of course, have a mechanical sheeter at the bakery because it would be really, really impossible to do it by hand, to do that volume. And that's why most people don't attempt to do croissants at home, is because it is such a pain to do at home with like a rolling pin and trying to like roll it out and put the butter in and then roll it out again. So I literally just sheeted this out before I came over here.
Lamination is a baking technique that creates alternating thin layers of dough and fat, usually butter, through repeated rolling and folding. As a pastry bakes, the butter melts and the water inside vaporizes, separating the dough layers and creating a light, flaky, and airy texture.
Dough and butter need to be more or less the same consistency, which means they have to be a certain temperature. So if your dough is too warm, your butter will melt into the dough, or the dough will sheet out like as you're trying to roll out the butter. When I say sheet out, I'm talking about like the process of rolling the dough through what we call a sheeter. It's like it has rollers that basically you can adjust how thick the dough goes through it, and it basically like rolls the dough straight through it. That's called the process of sheeting. You want cold dough and cold butter, but the butter needs to be pliable. So it can't be like firm cold. So it should be bending here like that, but like it's not soft enough where I've got any like edges that are just gonna sort of like melt, or edges that are like too hard, whereas if you bend it, it's not getting to snap. What we do at the bakery is we work the butter a little bit to start with, just to get it nice and pliable, to get it ready for like spreading out throughout the center of the dough. You basically want to scooch the dough around so that it's gonna be right on the edge of where your butter is. Like tuck and pull But basically, at this point, then you also want to work it one more time over the dough and work it into it so that it's attaching itself to it. And as you start the rolling process, it's just going to spread and not break.
So how many folds and rolls are required?
Everybody does a little different combination of folds, depending on the product that you're wanting to get, as far as like, do you want like really big open layers, or do you want really tight, like tons of layers? That kind of just depends on how many folds you're gonna do. So at Vienne, we do what's called a simple fold. So a simple fold is going like 1/3 up and then coming over the top of it, 1/3 down, like that. So that's your simple fold. Ideally, your edges are like just nice and lined up. There's usually a little bit of like tucking and pulling just to get your edges to line up there on the side. And then for the second one, we do what's called a double fold. You're gonna bring like 2/3 of it up and then 1/3 down, and then you're gonna double it back up on top of each other. So right there with the simple fold, we just created 3 layers. And then here we're gonna do 4. So now that's 4 times 3. So at that point we'll have 12 layers. So you would wanna trim again. And then we're gonna go double like this. Ideally, your fold ends up in the middle. So at this point, we would sheet the dough back out kind of to sheet tray length, throw it in the freezer for about 20 minutes, let it chill, because ideally you wanna give it a little resting period before your final fold. And then we would do another simple fold, which ultimately gives us 36 layers in the croissants.
For an end product that is light, flaky, airy, and flavorful, it is created with very simple ingredients.
It's just flour, water, yeast, milk, and it's got a little bit of butter. And then we do what we call a pre-ferment, which is basically just fermented croissant dough that we also throw in there with it just to give it a little acidity.
And to make the bread rise.
The yeast that we use is a gold yeast. It's formulated for doughs with sugar in it. It delays the yeast activity, so it's got a little bit more left over at this point when we actually have the proofing process happening.
After all the flour, water, yeast, and butter are mixed up into a dough,
we let it, what's called bulk ferment, in the bowl. So we basically let it rise in the bowl for usually about an hour. So it gets nice and big, and then we cut it, divide it up. We put that in the refrigerator overnight. Yes, so that will sit again. And then the next morning, we'll squish it down, we'll put it in the freezer. And then usually I like to have that in the freezer for another day before we pull it out to thaw and then laminate it.
Although baking requires precision, there is attention to many details that is beyond measurements and technique.
It's more about feel than anything else. I can feel that it's moving, but it's not so soft that it's like giving away under my fingers, you know, like. And the same with the dough, like it's moving, it's stretching, but it's not so cold that I can't like move it, or it doesn't feel like it's gonna go without breaking.
With layers upon layers stacked on top of each other, Chef Anna has created something that is more than appropriate for being in the library.
Once that process is completed, it's called a book, because now we've got a bunch of little, what's called sheets or layers. In French it's called feuilletage, it means a bunch of little leaves, the leaves of a book. So that's why at the end of the process, it's called a book of croissant dough.
The book of croissant dough is usually chilled again a third time.
If you sheet it out too warm, it's gonna proof really, really fast on the table. If the dough gets too warm on the table, the yeast starts to activate, and then the dough starts to get dry, it starts to tear. So you will like kind of have to work through the process pretty fast.
At Vienne, Chef Anna has the help of her husband, along with her sidekick, her daughter Luna.
She basically spent the first year of her life in the bakery with me in a pack. And she hangs out in the afternoons and helps me shape croissants, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But before shaping the croissants, the sheet of dough needs to be cut to size.
Butter croissants, we cut them to 24 inches and then 12 inches in the middle. So those are the two ends of our triangles.
She uses an expandable dough divider that has a series of 6 cutting wheels that is attached to a scissor-like frame.
We have this handy-dandy tool here that separates for us to mark. So our butter croissants are set to 4 inches. I'm just going to make marks here at this point. These are going to be the sides of my triangle. And I'm going to go in the center. And then this is going to be the tip of the triangle. And I'm going to go back this way.
Now that the dough is cut into triangles, it is ready to roll into croissants.
To actually shape these guys, I basically kind of like throw them out in front of me, pull them out like that, and then just basically roll it straight down. I kind of use like my left hand to sort of guide it. I do like sort of like a little flick at the top, guide it down with my left hand, and then roll.
The audience is now invited to come up and try their hands at rolling the dough. The shaped croissants go on a tray and into the oven to bake. Chef Anna shares that nothing goes to waste.
What we do with the scraps is we'll basically chill them again and then we'll resheet them out, pack them all together, sheet them out, fold them until they come together and actually form a nice little like solid piece of dough, and then those become our morning buns. So we basically sheet it out because morning buns are baked and then squished. So it's not that important that you have perfect layers in them. Like they still get the flakiness because you have the layers from the dough that you're using for that. They're not set up, they're just kind of squished into a tray. Some people will make like a what they call a monkey bread with scraps, but yeah, ours is morning buns. And then basically just push all those scraps together, sheet them out, spread them with butter, like put it out in like a long line, spread it with butter and rub some sugar over the top of it and then roll it up into rolls and then cut it into pieces.
Then, as a treat today, Chef Anna brought already made chocolate croissant dough that has also been popped into the oven.
We actually use Valrhona chocolate. They're called chocolate fez. They're little like ovals. So the chocolate are cut into rectangles and then we line chocolate up on both sides of the rectangles and then roll those two sides in so they meet. So it's basically two rolls.
The room fills with the delicious smell of caramelized sugar, butter, and flour with essences of chocolate. How does Chef Anna know when the croissants are ready?
Like when they're nice and dark, dark golden brown. Every oven's gonna bake a little differently. Our ovens at the bakery, we've got like a pretty high fan, so it gets color on these edges a lot better.
The croissants may not have been baked to Chef Anna's retail standards, but Dax Gower has no complaints.
It tastes good because there's chocolate in there and it's hard and flaky.
Aside from being able to taste the delicious treats that Chef Anna created this afternoon, Cecilia Marino, who regularly attends the culinary classes at the kitchen table, finds other benefits.
This is such a fantastic resource, and it does bring people together, and people are making friends and being a community. I thought it was one of the better demonstrations here. I go to all of them almost.
Finally, Chef Anna finds it rewarding to share her knowledge and skills.
I think it's important to show people the process of what it takes to make an artisan product like a croissant and what it takes to start up a bakery. And I just thought it would be a really fun thing to do. I've been really wanting to do more community things, and I thought this would be a good opportunity.
And reaching out to the community was one of the goals for Creative Labs librarian Emily Otis at the Bozeman Public Library.
A lot of urban public libraries have started to have kitchens in the last decade or so. And so library administrators thought that this would be a really good way to draw people to the library.
So the Bozeman Public Library renovated the space that once housed a cafe and coffee shop.
The kitchen table opened in January 2024. It was added as part of a renovation across the library that was funded entirely by donations. So our friends and foundation paid for this space. And part of their process was talking to the community, and the community seemed very excited about the idea of a kitchen as well.
Now that the kitchen table is in place, what does Otis hope to accomplish?
My overarching goal as a librarian here is to teach food literacy. So not just how to eat healthy, but the impacts that our food choices make on the environment, things like that, you know, how eating local benefits our community and kind of building those community connections around food. So to those ends, we have several programs where doctors and nutritionists come in and talk about nutrition-specific things. We have programs that are focused specifically on local foods and you know, what you can eat this time of year. We have our Thursday's Table program invites people from the community to come in and share their family recipes and things like that. And then I do a program on Saturdays specifically for kids.
And what does Otis want for these elementary age kids that join the classes?
So my big goal with that is get in the kitchen and have fun and just get comfortable with the space, get comfortable with trying new things. And there's not that rule that like you have to eat everything on your plate when you're at the library. If you don't like something, it's fine. You tried it. That's the goal.
And what are some of the foods that these children will be introduced to and learn about?
So once a month, I do some kind of seasonal food, and I'll try to prepare it more than one way. So how all can you eat these vegetables, and how can we make it fun? For example, we've done zucchini and did like some sauteed zucchini, but also did zucchini chocolate chip cookies.
For Chinese New Year this year, celebrating the Year of the Horse, student Cash Quinn, along with his mother, Emmy,
talked about Chinese New Year and the kind of the tradition and how their family celebrates. And then they taught everybody how to make dumplings, and everybody got a chance to fold their own dumplings. And that was an all ages program, actually. So Cash is like this 6-year-old kid, and he's like teaching adults how to fold dumplings. And everybody was so into it. Like, it was such a heartwarming afternoon. It was lovely.
The heartwarming sentiments are also found at the Thursday Table program, more directed at adults, but open to all ages. Community members or professionals are invited to demonstrate a recipe and share the story and importance behind it.
And then we encourage just a lot of conversation from the people who are here. We might get conversations about the best way to squeeze a lemon, or like, do you chop ginger or do you use a microplane for ginger? Like those kinds of things. And like everybody kind of just shares their different ideas for how to do things. And this time of year, we're talking about getting gardens started and things like that.
Those interested in teaching a class are invited to contact Emily Otis at the library at emily.otis@bozemanmt.gov. She will print out copies of your recipes to share with your students and purchase the needed groceries. The kitchen is complete with a stovetop and two ovens, along with utensils, equipment, and pots and pans. Otis and a member of her team will set up the classroom and assist if needed.
Just last week, we had a couple fellows here from Southeast Asia. One was from East Timor and one was from Singapore. So they together made a noodle stir fry dish that is something they eat in both of their countries.
Then from another instructor, students learn of a dish from this country.
We have a patron who recently moved here from the South, and she made shrimp and grits. And it was just like, I can't keep that recipe stocked. Like, people just keep asking for it.
Large binders by the window to the left of the kitchen hold the recipes from the classes. On Thursdays and Saturdays, there are always programs, while there are occasional Tuesday classes. On this Tuesday afternoon, 18 students join Amy Ferguson, a pharmacist turned health coach, as she demonstrates the making of spaghetti squash with lentil walnut plant balls. And to help her with class, Amy has an assistant that continues the concept of family and community at the kitchen table.
I do have a sous chef with me today, my little son Dax, and he's Mario today. We're going to make spaghetti squash with plant balls. So we're kind of doing a twist on a classic Italian dish, spaghetti and meatballs. And so we had to do Mario, right? We had to bring some fun into it.
And the fun begins as ingredients go into a hot pan heating on the stovetop.
So we're starting with some coconut oil in the pan, and I'm going to put our onion, and we're going to get some garlic, and a little bit, just to get sauteing also with some garlic. We're going to cook it for like 5 to 7 minutes. I did put the garlic in a little bit early, so we'll see how that goes. Do you want to measure out the rice, buddy? So 2 teaspoons. So one of the big things as far as why I like to have Dex help me is I'll just show families how to have fun in the kitchen as well. And he helps me quite a bit at home, and so it's kind of nice to be able to have him help me here also.
While the onions and garlic are cooking, Amy begins processing the other ingredients going into her plant balls.
And then we're going to put some lentils and our mushrooms and a couple other things. I think our walnuts are going to go into our food processor. We're gonna put it right in here, buddy. Can you get it? There you go, nice. All right, we're gonna throw our mushrooms in here. We'll just bring it, it's a twist one. And we're gonna measure out a quarter cup, yep, of the walnut pieces. And then we're gonna twist it on here. Yeah. All right. So we're kind of just pulsing everything together. That's a good, buddy, so it has a little bit of chunks in there.
As the lento mushroom and walnut mixture sit, flavoring is added to the garlic and onion combination cooking in the pan.
Rice vinegar, sage, thyme, parsley, and oregano in there as well. And it's probably been 5 to 7 minutes, so I'm gonna throw those in there. And our onions look pretty translucent. Just gonna have about a minute on that. So next we're gonna add our mixture. I'm gonna turn that off just because I know it's gonna have some residual heat. And we're gonna put this in there. Okay, do you wanna get that scooper, buddy?
Which one, this one?
Yeah. So we're gonna put in our oats. So we need 1/2 cup of rolled oats. And the nutritional yeast, so 2.5 tablespoons of the nutritional yeast. Do you wanna stir this all together, buddy? I feel like I'm heavy-handed with the nutritional yeast because I think it's delicious.
Instead of cooking the plant balls in a regular muffin tin at 375 degrees for 30 to 35 minutes, Amy is using a smaller pan to be sure to have enough samples for the audience.
But since we're doing them in mini, we're going to try like 20 minutes and kind of see how they go from there. So the flax seed, and if you guys don't use that, I feel like that's helpful, especially mixed with water. It kind of is like an egg in a way, to kind of have that holding things together aspect. So I think we need 2 tablespoons, and then we're gonna do 6 tablespoons of water. We're gonna be using these to scoop, but we just gotta mix this last one. Did we get everything else in our list in here? We got the mushrooms, the walnut, flaxseed, water. It has already kind of like thickened up and got a little more gel, like just in the minute or so that it was sitting in there. So they do stick to the muffin pan a little bit. I've noticed when I have made them before. Just a light kind of even spray as best as you can. Okay, and then if you don't have these, again, this is another tool to have in the kitchen as far as cookies go, or I figured we would just kind of try and press these kind of hard today. If you're at home and you wanted to feel like you'd have your hands in dirt, you know, or whatever kind of mud, then you could always make them a little tighter too. Okay, so we got those. I'm gonna try and wipe this out one more time. All right, buddy, we're gonna get these in the oven. Okay, will you open the door for me?
The spaghetti squash was baked earlier. After cutting in half the squash and placed on a baking sheet, it was drizzled with olive oil and seasoned with salt and pepper. Baked for 35 minutes or until tender at 375 degrees, the cooked squash can be scraped out with a fork, separating into pasta-like strands. As the plant balls bake, Amy starts on the red sauce and reheating the squash.
As far as this tomato sauce, I feel like it's super easy. It's not a complicated one. I know buying sauce at the store can be a little bit more convenient at times, but you tend to get a lot of sugar and things and extra salt and that kind of thing in different prepared sauces. I feel like there's definitely ones now you can find better versions. Okay, so we're gonna put our onions and garlic in this one, which you already have chopped up here. And that's gonna be for our sauce. A couple more onions out of this guy. And then you want to stir that, and then I'm going to have you scrape the spaghetti a little bit. Can you get it? Let me get a fork real quick. Okay, get those ones. And then I'm going to have you put the...
Can you use a fork to, like, to scrape the inside out?
Yep, see how it's just kind of falling apart very easy, yeah. String's on its own.
I call it spaghetti squash.
Yeah, yep. So just like that with these other ones, too. And I try and get like as much as I can kind of out of there because I feel like there's quite a bit to work with, you know. We basically just put the crushed tomatoes, some tomato paste, onions, garlic, and some spices. And that's pretty much all we've put in our tomato sauce. So very easy. And the nutritional yeast is the last thing we need. And 3 tablespoons.
As the plant balls continue to bake, the sauce simmer, and the spaghetti squash warm, Amy talks about gut health and how the trillion of microorganisms, bacteria, viruses, and fungi in our intestines affect how we feel.
Ideally, when it comes to the gut microbiome, you want to have an abundance of different ones, you want to have diversity of different ones, and you want to have a balance of things as well. good bacteria do is they take the place so that other bacteria can't come into the gut. So you really want to have a good diverse population of those things that are taking up that space. So again, opportunistic things can't come in and cause infections, other bad things basically. Some of our other functions of our gut microbiome in general, they help with digestion, so they definitely help to break down different fibers, and that's where we get them forming other substances like the short-chain fatty acids. Those are what we use for energy. They're used for metabolic processes in general, so they're very important. The gut microbiome, it's involved with our immunity. Like I said, it already protects us from pathogens. It synthesizes many of our vitamins. So vitamin K, which can be used for clotting, and then a lot of our water-soluble B vitamins are also formed from these processes in the gut. One of the biggest things as far as the digestion goes, these help to keep our lining of our gut healthy, which is extremely important because when we have what we call dysbiosis, which is when those bugs get off kilter, that's when you can get, in a way, like little holes in the cells as far as the intestinal lining, and things can go back and forth into the body that are not supposed to go into the body. And that's when you get a lot of this inflammation, because that's the body kind of beating itself up trying to fix what's wrong.
So what are some of the things we can do to ensure a healthier gut?
Shop the perimeter. I think this has probably been talked about before, but again, when you go to like the produce and the meat and the dairy and the things that are whole foods, I mean, generally those are found around the perimeter of the grocery store. There tends to be more ultra processed foods and things that are maybe not as healthy for you within the other parts of the store. So definitely shop the perimeter. Order ahead. This is not something I do, but I know it has been successful for other people as far as like using the Instacart or something. If you don't want to go spend the time at the grocery store, order what you need and have it, you know, available to be picked up. Don't go to grocery shopping when you're hungry. Hopefully everybody knows that by now, but it might save you as far as not buying things you don't need.
The Plant-Boss spaghetti squash and sauce are now on paper plates for the audience to try. Susan McCall is awaiting to sample today's food.
Yeah, a lot of new ingredients to me. I'm learning how to use nutritional yeast. I'm hoping I like spaghetti squash because I haven't in the past, so I'm about to try it. I'm really intrigued at the idea of making meatballs with other ingredients. I love mushrooms and lentils, so I can't wait to try that.
On the other hand, Cash Quinn, who sat at the counter for the entire class, has already tasted a sample plate.
What I liked was the noodles. So I'll make a lot of the noodles so we can all can have it and eat it. And that shoe was really good at explaining stuff.
Amy has been teaching classes at the library since September of last year. She hopes students take away
inspiration of trying something new and trying getting out of their box and realizing that it's not that hard to find joy in the kitchen and be creative and find fun ways to create meals for the people you love.
And the fun continued with this sing-along. Many thanks to Emily Otis, Anna Mendoza, and Amy Ferguson, and the kitchen table at the Bozeman Public Library. Music for Flavors Under the Big Sky has been created by Parker Brown. As always, thank you, listeners, for your support. I'm Stella Fong.